You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 23 April. We've got Intel results after market close in the U.S., but there are about 165 sets of results in all. Giant day in results in their market. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kenya Nyona from Prime XBT. We had strong Capitec numbers. We had a BHP Group update, Remgro out of First Rand, and local March inflation, although that was a bit of a nothing. I mean, the war was on, but we didn't have those fuel increases yet. Lismore Burke from CFI Financial Group. What you need to know before you start trading and why it's not gambling, and we need to sort of differentiate between them. And then we'll talk to Satrix on understanding your fund's fact sheet and minimum disclosure document. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb: jet fuel spike sees domestic airfares doubling. Return from Joburg, Cape Town, now at least 4,000 Rand. Business Day: state locks in December 27 deadline for Eskom grid separation. Tosti must deliver a proposal to the president on execution of the restructuring. Morning markets, US was green, S&P 1.1% higher, NASDAQ up 1.7%. The East is all red, Sydney down 0.7%, Tokyo and Hong Kong just over 1% weaker, Tencent 1.5% down. Commodities mostly red, gold futures 4,719, Brent is the green, back above 100 at 103.80, platinum is 2,042, palladium 1,531. The rand is 16.54, Bitcoin 77,700, and top 40 opening call at red open 980 points or 0.9% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kia Nyonyana from Prime XBT. Kia, appreciate the early morning Capitec numbers. You and I have chatted around Capitec a number of times over the year. It is just, I mean, it sets itself up for, I don't know, kind of perfection, and then it kind of delivers. 26 million accounts clocking through. Another good set of numbers from the darling of the banking space.
I mean, I was having a conversation with a client and they were asking me, what's the next Capitec? Because I was telling them the price of Capitec share was 200 Rand in the early 2000s. And this company keeps on innovating. And what I mean by that is that they found a way to streamline financial services such that their costs are very low. And they keep on innovating products that really resonate with LSMs right across from 1 to 10. And I mean, it's that 26 million customer base, which I think the market is really happy about, because that's distribution. That's just distribution waiting to be sold on new products. I mean, the metrics, we can speak about them the whole day. They're incredible. Return on equity is above 30%, which is 11% better than the best performing bank. So it really tells you what an incredible outfit Capitec really is.
So what is the next Capitec? Did you have an answer for the client? Easy question, harder answer. Yeah, okay. No, I've been pondering that too. I mean, we will be out. So let's go to BHP Group, not the next Capitec, giant miner. Total copper production down a bit, although they're keeping the guidance, and I think that maybe is the big number. I mean, this is a beast of a miner, and they do it efficiently, iron ore and copper.
Iron ore and copper. And I think what really was quite disconcerting about the number was just the price of coal, even though coal production was also in line. But what has happened in the past 2 months, the price of coal has went up. So, I mean, if you look at further guidance and if you do your earnings forecast with a higher average coal price, it's also going to filter down into those earnings. Although copper remains very erratic in terms of pricing, because I mean, I think it's performed better than gold over the past 12 months, but in the past few weeks, it really hasn't done very well. So it'll be good to see the full year results when they do come out to see how they are doing. But they did alert us that the war in Iran is going to increase operational costs.
Yeah, and copper, I mean, I'm having a quick peek there. What, year to date, some 8-odd%, but over the last year, yep, 27%. There's not much that has done better than that over the period. Some small news coming through. Remgro exiting their final first round shares, 3.6 billion. This really seems more a sort of portfolio restructuring rather than panic around first round.
Yeah, I think that they've cited that it's a non-core investment and they want to streamline the group and make it more simpler. And I think kudos to them. I think one thing about group structures and these holding companies is there's too much holding on. I mean, I was reading a book about how conglomerates were built prior to 1994. And I mean, this is a way for the Rupert family to essentially divest their conglomerate into different entities. The Rupert family comes from the beginning of First Rand, so yeah. It's quite interesting that they want to really exit this asset. But I mean, all the other assets within the portfolio have performed well, and they've declared quite good dividends. So kudos to them.
Yeah, take a point. They've done very well out of it. We'll see what they do with that big, giant pile of cash. Quick last question. March inflation, 3.1%. I mean, March isn't the issue. It's April when we had the fuel price increase. That's going to be the one that spooks us. And hopefully by May, petrol, diesel prices coming down already.
Yeah, I think this was the inflation print that I call the calm before the storm, because it does not necessarily have the petrol price increases. So I mean, the transport has been in deflationary territory. But what also is going to be quite concerning in the next print is administered price inflation, because the electricity hike of 8.76 is also going to be filtering in, albeit the fact that anyone who gets the electricity from the municipality, it's only going to show in the July number. But I think anyone who gets the electricity from Eskom is going to come up in this number. And then the inflationary pressure is going to be seen. And in my anticipation, it may get too close to the target band of 4%. So, yeah, it's not going to be looking good in the April number.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about Eskom, of course. Eskom. We'll leave it there. Kenyon Yana, Prime XPT. Always appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining us, Lismore Burke, Trading Education Officer at CFI Financial Group. Lismore, appreciate the early morning time. Talking around trading, in a recent trading session you were doing, focusing very much on beginners and how to start, I suppose, carefully and more safely. But you kick off with a good point, which the sort of the mindset and the misconception between trading /gambling, gamification of markets. It is potentially a dangerous space. There is a clear distinction, and we need to be quite considered in how we approach equity markets or commodity FX markets.
Morning, Simon. Morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, in terms of gamifications, it's really been something that social media has been putting up upfront with the lifestyle that actually people are portraying out there. So, and in line with what exactly is happening across the world, with the prediction markets, so everyone is taking in everything, and it's now gamification of markets. So we've been taking a different approach in terms of that and trying to educate people with these sessions and having them to actually know the fundamentals on how to get into the markets and how to identify market structures and all the sorts.
It's a social media. It's those I don't know, fancy cars and piles of money and to the point, nearly always fake. But I like your idea around bringing it back to what it really is. It's around understanding what drives market prices, and it might look like rocket science from the outside, but as you mentioned in the events, not necessarily at all. A lot of it is just some good old fashioned common sense.
Yes, Simon. Actually, it is. I've been telling people all of this session that you should just start off from your everyday lifestyle actually right now with the Strait of Hormuz closed and we've seen our petrol prices going up, and that has been affecting our own lives and our everyday lives. So with the inflation that you guys spoke about earlier on, with the inflation print going up, and that is actually what people should be looking at. How does that affect the rand? How does that affect the commodity prices? How does that affect our everyday lives? And we can take that and we see that on the charts and the markets, and that's how you actually can interpret the markets.
And you talk around confidence and sort of, not jumping straight in, because I mean, trading like any other skill, we need to learn the skills, we need to sort of build that confidence, build structure, practice, demo accounts, sort of learn to walk before we run.
Yes. So with the demo account, I started off with saying you need at least 30 days with the market. So, but then 30 days being the bare minimum, being the floor. So, because usually when people come to these sessions, what happens is that they always come with this enthusiasm that they want to start. So every time you tell them that, okay, you're going to take some time with this, they're always like, no, we want to start right now. So I always say 30 days as the bare minimum. It'll get you to feel. Of course, 30 days, sometimes you can get 30 days off a trading market. So eventually, when you move forward, you can actually have more markets. And it's a good thing that we've got a president who talks from the US, who talks on Twitter, and that's people see that on an everyday basis, and that creates some trends and that creates some volatility. And so so it gets to people to practice different scenarios with these tweets.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, to the point. I mean, I appreciate folks are in a hurry. They got plans for the weekend, but they need to take it a little more slow. A last question. I mean, at the core of it, trading comes back to it's risk management. It's probability. It's understanding that,
Totally.
And that's where we're going to get that consistency, which is what all traders strive for.
Yes, totally. And we always have to start with the risk. So I always take the markets as to say it's like holding the glass of water, and how long can you hold this is how long you actually can determine how well you can structure it. So I always say that people, you need to understand risk management. How long can you hold the glass of water? Same thing with leverage. Try and teach them about leverage. I never always try and upsell them to the upside. I always tell them what is the downside of trading. Once you understand risk management, actually you have a longer time to actually be in the markets, in a sense.
Actually, it's a great point, because if you, it's the whole thing. You go too risky, you go all in, you bust out, and then you're gone. Then it's a game over. You need to stay there. That's what we're probably looking more than anything. We'll leave it there. Appreciate the early morning time. Liz Milberg, Training Education Officer, CFI Financial Group. Appreciate the early morning. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Dumin Thengi, he's head of business and market development at Satrix. Dumin, appreciate the time. Minimum disclosure documents, also called fund fact sheets. I mean, we'll delve into some of the details, but in short, exchange traded funds, whether they're active or passive, unit trusts, AMCs, I mean, all of these listed products, they are publishing these on a monthly basis, and they're hugely important for investors.
That's correct. You know, usually, as you know, when we talk about investment, it's always about performance.
Yeah.
It's always about exposure to different markets. We thought, you know, one area that is, you know, highly neglected are the MDDs and the fund fact sheet. And we view them as your typical, you know, instruction manuals. You know, we want to encourage people to start there first, before they can actually get excited about the investment world.
It's a great point. And I mean, in recent notes you put out, you talk around the 2025, the Sanlam Financial Confidence Index. Over half of South Africans are setting aside money for personal growth, for investing. There's a lot of folks out there. And the key point is there will be a lot of articles, there will be commentary on this show and other places around the listed products. And let's stick with ETFs for this point. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the point with the MDD or the fact sheet is that this is not opinion. This is, as it says in the sticker, this is facts. It tells you what it is.
Absolutely. I mean, and you mentioned all the different vehicles, and the beautiful thing about an MDD is standardized. So it doesn't matter which fund you look at. You know, the key components in terms of what you need to look at is exactly the same across the board.
That is a great point. We're going to see the same. And it tells me, I mean, it's simple stuff. Like, I mean, what is the investment mandate? In an ETF, it's going to be an index it's following. In an active fund, it gets more complex. Benchmarks, those sort of things. Distributions, how often we will be paid dividends, if at all.
Correct. And then those are the things, you know, one needs to think about. And also helps in terms of just managing your own expectation. I mean, for example, you use big words like investment mandate. Mm-hmm. You know, you can actually simplify it and say, you know, what job is this fund trying to do? It's a job description. So once you start understanding that and simplifying for yourself, we feel that it does empower a person to make a more informed decision in terms of where to invest.
That's actually a great point. An industry full of jargon. I throw around distribution, even dividend, which, you know, for you and I is a simple word, but for a new investor, it maybe not so much. And I mean, it is just a case of, in this case, dividend is you're going to get some profits every so often, but not every fund. And it comes back to expectation, knowing what you're investing into.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, to your point around distribution, I mean, essentially is, you know, does the fund make a payment? So obviously there are two components to it. So a lot of people, when they think about investing, it's the growth, you know, the capital growth in terms of what you invest. But what they also are not aware of is that certain funds either will pay a dividend on certain, you know, frequency, or there'll be an interest payment if, let's say, it's a bond fund or it's a money market. But you also have international funds that do not pay any distribution, meaning that they're non-distributing. So the investment that are actually being paid by the underlying share, remember ETFs is a basket of shares, is that it automatically gets reinvested. So there's something that, you know, clients out there and investors need to think about.
And neither of those is necessarily good or bad. It depends on the individual and what their requirement is. I love dividends, but I don't need dividends. Someone else out there might need it for their month-to-month living.
And that is true. You know, in fact, I mean, I recall, you know, when my younger brother started investing, you know, when you actually do your onboarding and you're filling those forms, what people are not aware of is that there is specifically a line item that says, do you want to reinvest your investment or do you actually want the payout? So as you say, certain investors may prefer to actually get the payout, especially your retirees. But for younger people, you know, we do encourage them to actually reinvest it automatically.
Yeah. And my very first dividend check, and it was a very, very long time ago, I think it was less than a rand, and it was physically a check, which they posted me. That's how long ago it was.
Hey, I'm sure it's an amazing feeling to have an investment that just gives you a payout. You're like, oh, wow.
My mind was blown. I was not very knowledgeable. I got this check in the post. My mind was absolutely blown away for what was less than a rand. The other important point is it's going to tell you fees because, you know, there's brokerage fees and all of those sort of things. But there's also a fee within the fund, and this will talk to that. And essentially, there's two, total expense ratio or the total investment cost, and that will tell us what that fee is, anything from 0.1% upwards.
That is correct. And then you make a very good point is that an investor needs to understand that there are two types of costs. I mean, one where the fund itself is explicitly be able to tell you is something called, you know, the total expense ratio. Essentially what that is, it's a combination of, you know, different line items from a cost perspective. One is the management fee. So basically, that's a fee that you pay to the asset manager for investing the fund, the time that they take and the resources, et cetera. But there are other fees, which are actually fund expense fees. So you have like your bank charges, your audit fees, custody, et cetera. But the beautiful thing is that it's actually not paid. It's not charged from your account. It's actually charged within the fund. Yes. So essentially, when you think about the returns, a certain portion of that will actually be deducted, but it's actually inside the fund. So the client does not necessarily get to physically experience those charges because it's not on their account, but it is actually borne out in terms of the return, which might be slightly lower. So that's one part. The other part is we have what we call transaction costs. Mm-hmm. So the cost is, you know, you've appointed a manager to manage the fund. And so from time to time, if it's an active fund, that they'll go to market and they'll basically build a position. So there are costs incurred in that, but those costs are actually incurred inside the fund. For an index manager such as ourselves is that we do rebalancing. So every quarter we rebalance the fund. So that's where now we actually have to sell certain shares in terms of the underlying, you know, shares within the basket. So there's a cost that is borne out, but all of that is actually inside the fund.
That's a great point. It happens within the fund. And of course, that minimum disclosure document or a fund fact sheet will give you the details. And you'll find it at the fund's website and satrix.co.za or whichever it is, but we leave it there. Dumin Kenge, he's head of business, market development. Satrix, appreciate the time.
That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. How fastidious are you about checking the MDDs, those minimum disclosure document? I got to say, I am. I love them. Lots of nerdy data there. What about you? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
That's it for today. We're chatting with Chantal Marx yesterday, FNB Wealth and Investments, asking about her preferred consumer discretionary stock on the JSE. She liked Pepco. We asked you if it was maybe time to start having a good hard look at some of these consumer discretionary. The consensus was yes, but only the best. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukhle, Nicole, Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Private credit.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.